Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Memorial Auditorium, where the Otters, despite a depleted lineup, pick up a big win over the Kitchener Rangers and head back home to Erie, PA, with a 1-1 series tie in this first-round matchup. And as Paul Fixter said not too long ago, it's not a playoff series until the road team wins. Well, we have got ourselves a series, because the Erie Otters, without Alex Messier, Alexi Davio, Brett Brissett, and Martin Mishiak, managed to beat the Kitchener Rangers 7-4 this afternoon. Benjamin Gaudreau still remains out of goal for Erie as well. Let's take a look at how this one went down. The Rangers came out roaring today, just 1:44 in on the Channers power play. Carson Rakoff would score his second of the playoffs from Philip Machar and Edward Chalet, 1-0 Kitchener. Then just 43 seconds later, Matthias Stark would get his first postseason goal from Tanner Lamb. Rangers were up 2-0, just 2:27 in. But just after killing off another penalty against, the Erie Otters got on the board. Pano Femus with his first of the playoffs from Sam Alfano and Nick Holomigo at 5:13. That made it 2-1. And then the teams settled into playoff hockey, with Erie, in fairness, kind of carrying the play for the rest of the first. But we would finish the opening period with a 2-1 lead for the Kitchener Rangers. In the second, the Otters would get a goal 2:11 in, an unassisted marker from Malcolm Spence. That tied the game 2-2. And then just over 4 minutes later, Sam Alfano would score his second of the playoffs from Dylan Edwards at 6:22 of the second. And Erie had its first lead, not just of this game, but of the series. They led 3-2. Carson Rakoff would get it back for the Rangers on a 4-on-4 situation. Rakoff's second of the game and third of the playoffs from Hunter Brustevich and Philip Machar at 18:10 of the second. So with a minute 50 to go, and we were tied at 3, headed to the third. In the third, just 1:26 in, Carey Terrance would finish off a 2-on-1. He held the puck the whole way, and he elected to take the shot. Right choice. His first of the postseason, made it 4-3 Erie. The Rangers would get it back courtesy of the Channers power play. Matt Sopp, net front, and a beautiful goal. His second of the playoffs from Philip Machar and Edward Chalet at 4:17 of the third, and that would tie the score 4-4, but the Otters would get the next three. First, it was Sam Alfano, his second of the game and third of the playoffs from Pano Femus at 10:37. Then Caleb Smith on a partial breakaway, his first from Bruce McDonald at 16:24. And Dylan Edwards would finish it off into an empty net. Edwards' third of the playoffs after he had two goals in Game 1 on Friday night. It was an unassisted goal at 18:06, and that's all the scoring we would have on this Easter Sunday afternoon. 7 for the Otters, 4 for the Rangers. Kitchener goes 2-for-6 on the Channers power play today. The Erie Otters go 0-for-5 with the man advantage. Kitchener outshoots Erie by a count of 28-25. The series now even at one game apiece as we head back to Erie for games 3 and 4 on Tuesday and Thursday nights, respectively. Fans, we have ourselves a playoff series. Once again, the final, the Otters 7, the Rangers 4. Post-game coverage is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to Kitchener Rangers Hockey on City News 570.
Who blew a call? Who left it all out on the ice? Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter. Break it down on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the Otters roll over the Rangers 7-4 and draw even in this first-round playoff series at a game apiece. On our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard this afternoon, the Oshawa Generals have drawn even in their first-round series with the Barrie Colts. But boy, oh boy, first of all, the Colts win game number one by a score of 4-2. They had built up a 3-0 lead, as I recall, in that first game on Friday night, then hung on late. And when they were hanging on late, I should add that former Kitchener Ranger and Kitchener native Kyle Morey was on the ice in the final minute with the net empty for Oshawa, trying to protect that lead for the Barrie Colts. Well, today, in a bit of a seesaw game at Tribute Community Center in Oshawa, the Generals were up by a goal, 5-4, and the Colts had a power play and their own net empty. And they scored what they thought was the game-tying goal, only to have it overturned upon review. Best I've been able to determine from that is that the whistle had gone before the puck went into the net. So Oshawa hangs on for a 5-4 victory on home ice and ties the series 1-1, headed back to Saddlin Arena in Barrie. Meantime, in London, the Knights fell behind early. They scored the game's opening goal and then watched the Flint Firebirds get the next three, two of them from Oliver Peer, to grab a 3-1 lead. But then the Knights would score the next three of their own to regain the lead. The Otters would tie it midway through the third, and London would go on to win with a goal into an empty net, 6-4 the final, as the Knights take a 2-0 series lead in that 1-8 matchup in this Western Conference. So the Knights 6-4 winners today on our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. One other game, it's also in the Eastern Conference, just down the road from here in Brantford, where the Bulldogs will look to take a 2-0 series lead on the Ottawa 67s. That's the 3-6 matchup in the East. The Bulldogs grabbed game number one, scoring seven times, two goals coming from Nick Lardis, who just returned from injury for the Bulldogs and helped them to that game one win. So they'll try to make it 2-0 by taking both games on home ice later tonight when that one gets underway at the Brantford Civic Center. That's a look at your Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. Check out their full list of services at leiboldelectric.com. Some other game twos in the books yesterday. Sudbury came from behind and picked up an overtime win in Mississauga, 6-5 the final there. So Sudbury, the 5 seed, goes back home with a 2-0 series lead over Mississauga, the 4 seed. In North Bay, the Battalion hammered the Kingston Frontenacs 7-3. North Bay leads that series 2-0. Saginaw, a 5-2 win over Owen Sound, and Sault Ste. Marie, a 4-1 win over Guelph. Let's send it downstairs here to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm at ice level with head coach UC Hokison. Coach, after a good start, 2-0 lead, what is it in your mind that changed that made this a loss today?
Well, you start feeling good, and then you don't play smart. Like, our puck management was the key why we lost today. Like, we gave 4 goals against from high to high plays, turnover from in our blue line there from where they scored their, was it their third or fourth goal? I think that was the biggest issue why we didn't play. And then we didn't get, our offense wasn't driving hard enough to the net, but you should still, like, when we talk, we scored 4 goals. In playoffs, you should win with 4. Like, we have to be smarter with the puck and defend better.
Does it, it's really a non-factor, I suppose, at this point. Does it hurt anymore, though, knowing that they had a depleted lineup tonight with some pretty good bodies out of their lineup and team wasn't able to take advantage of that?
No, not at all. It's 1-1, and we go again Tuesday, so it's, I don't think of it like that at all. As they played, they have two really good lines, and we have to, our own game has to be better. We have to be smarter.
So if there's one or two things, Coach, that you would hope the team is better at in the next game, what would it be?
Oh, puck management. That's number one. Just, we have to be smarter there, and then we have to our offense has to be a little bit our roster so that we get speed a little bit more.
Thank you for a few minutes of your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Rangers head coach UC Ahokas. As we kind of figured, the team was starting to feel a little too good about itself. The first two goals came maybe too soon and too easily for the Rangers, and then the Otters, with no quit in their legs, battled back and eventually won the game by a final score of 7-4. Post-game coverage is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. We continue on City News 570.
To City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here at the Odd, where the Rangers lose game 2 7-4. Paul Fixter is ringside.
Thanks, Mike. I'm happy that to be joined by Philip Machar. And Philip, thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time. I'm sure the team is a little bit down, and that's tough loss for you guys today.
Yeah, it was obviously a tough loss for us. It was game was pretty tight whole game. Like, we played hard, they played hard. It was a tough game. It wasn't easy, but yeah, I think we didn't play our game today. We can play way better, and we said something after a game. Nothing's happening. It's series 1-1, and we have to be ready for 7 games if we want to win this series. So we're just gonna do that. We're just gonna play hard, and I'm pretty sure we're gonna win this series.
Well, you mentioned the team can play better. I'm not sure how much better you can play. Your second start today, congratulations. And another 3 assists after 3 assists the other night. Things are going pretty well for you right now?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy that it's going pretty well for me now. Like, I had pretty tough last games of the regular season. Like, I haven't got a point for, 4 games. So I'm glad that I'm doing good now in the playoffs. But like I said, we have a really good team, really good group of guys, and these games are kind of tough for us, but we just have to learn from that, and we know what to do. We have great coaching staff, and like I said, 15 minutes, and we're going to forget about it.
What do you think the biggest lesson for the hockey team is from this loss today?
I think just individual mistakes, and we can lose the pucks on our blue line or on their blue line. That's the biggest thing for us, I think, and because they can score from the rush a lot, and they scored like 4 goals probably from the rush today, so we have to be better than that.
It's really a moot point at this point after losing today, but does it hurt a little bit more knowing that they had some pretty good bodies out of their lineup and your team wasn't able to take advantage of that?
100%. Like, we saw the lineup before a game, and we said something, but I don't know what was wrong. We can play way better, but like I said, we're going to be ready for the next game in Erie.
Thanks for a few minutes of your time. Good luck in the next game in Erie, and continued success the way you're playing.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Philip Machar, 3 assists today, 3 assists on Friday, sharing post-game thoughts here following a 7-4 Otters victory at the Memorial Auditorium. Your post-game show is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. We continue on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the Easter Sunday crowd has made its way out and likely home for a nice Easter dinner, wherever and however you are celebrating today. Thank you very much for spending some of your holiday weekend with us. If you're a Rangers fan, probably a little bit disappointing after Kitchener got out to an early lead in this one, but the Otters had a lot of fight in them, and we now have ourselves a 1-1 series headed back to Erie, PA, thanks to the 7-4 Otters win today. Let's take a look at your 3 stars from the game. 3 stars brought to you by the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. A goal and an assist for Panofemus in this one, and the former second overall into this Ontario Hockey League with the Niagara Ice Dogs is named star number 3. Star number 2, from whom you just heard in conversation with Paul Fixter, Philip Machar of the Kitchener Rangers, who added 3 more assists today to his 3 assist tally from Friday night. And Machar is named star number 2, and Sam Alfano was a beast for the Erie Otters today. He scored twice, he added an assist, he was a net front presence and an awful lot for the Kitchener Rangers to handle. Alfano gets our nod as star number one. So your three stars go Sam Alfano, Philip Machar, and Pano Femus. The three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. Back for some final thoughts with Paul Fixter and then to your phone calls on your post-game show. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low. Just take it and go. This is City News 570. Welcome back inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where 6,000 plus have gone home likely for an Easter dinner. And Paul Fixter and I stick around and take some of your phone calls after a 7-4 Otters victory over the Kitchener Rangers. We will have much to discuss, Paul. I think there are a lot of things we can get into, but probably the biggest that stands out to me, and UC Ahokas alluded to this when you were chatting with him down at ice level, Kitchener Rangers probably thought they were in for a somewhat easier afternoon than it turned out to be.
Yeah, UC Ahokas mentioned that, and actually Philip Machar kind of alluded to that.
They saw the lineup, right?
They saw the lineup before the game, and I guess human nature, Mike, just that takes over, and you think, oh, it's going to be an easy because they've got so many good players missing. Well, those good players missing, others that did get to play really stepped up, and nobody bigger than Alfano, Femus, and the goaltender. I thought he was very good yet again today, Frazier.
It reminds me a little bit, Paul, of what we've talked about, and in fact, we've seen it a couple of times just this year. It happens every once in a while in this league where a bus rolls in a little bit late, and so the team gets off the bus and they can't go through the regular post or pregame, pardon me, routines. They just kind of get off the bus, get on their equipment, and go out there and play a hockey game. And sometimes, for whatever reason, that seems to benefit the team that got in late. Well, same thing kind of here today. The Erie Otters had every reason to feel sorry for themselves, but instead, I think they used it as some motivation to say, hey, we'll play with you guys even if we do only have essentially 9 forwards, because they certainly didn't call on Keegan Knight, the defenseman, who was dressed as a 7th defenseman today, and we didn't see a lot of Brett Hammond, the 10th forward. So 3 lines came at the Rangers hot and heavy and didn't let up today.
Interesting you mentioned that, Mike, because in the media lounge before the game, I talked with assistant coach Wes Wolf from the Erie Otters, and I talked to him about that, and he says, Paul, you know as well as anybody, sometimes you have your best games in circumstances like this. And to his point, that's exactly what happened today, as you just so well described. And it's kind of unacceptable in my eyes that the Rangers let this one slip away. I know, as Machar said, we'll only be sad for 15 minutes, but this one has to sting a little bit, knowing the players that they had out of the lineup, the opportunity that was here for the Rangers to take a stranglehold on this series. Well, now that stranglehold is gone. It's a series now because it's 1-1.
It is now a best of 5, and that means there's a lot of hockey still to come. But if this doesn't turn out the Rangers' way, I think this will be a game we look back on and say there was an opportunity lost for the Kitchener Rangers.
No question. There's no question, Mike. This is a potentially pivotal point in this series if the Rangers aren't able to be successful. This is a game that they'll look back and what the heck happened there. With a 2-0 lead, and it complete momentum going their way. You know, I know it was only a couple minutes into the first period, but they were in complete control. And to Erie's credit, they hung in there. They were able to chip away, get that to within 1, tie it up, take the lead, and then it became a real game.
2:27 into the game, the Rangers led 2-0. To put it another way, in the next 57 minutes and 33 seconds, they were outscored 7-2.
Well, and for me, the big one, Mike, is I know there's an empty net goal. 4-1 in the third. So really, 3-1 in the third.
Right. Yep.
Like, that's, you know, when the game was tied going into the third, to get outscored 4-1, 3-1, whatever you want to call it, that's huge. That's a big, that to me really jumps out. That so obviously they got outplayed, because when you get outscored, you get outplayed. They got outplayed badly in the third.
The Rangers will be back home next Friday night for game number 5, come heck or high water. There has to be a game 5 in this series. Games 3 and 4 will be on the road in Erie on Tuesday and Thursday night. Of course, Paul and I will be with the team and bringing you all of the action from the Erie Insurance Arena. But right now, we stay here at the Memorial Auditorium and get the chance to hear from you. So let's do that. shall we? Phone lines are open as we go into Rangers talk. Your thoughts on this 7-4 Otters victory here tonight. We'll take a quick break and come back with those calls right after this. Post-game coverage for USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570. Well, the Kitchener Rangers rolled out to a 2-0 lead, 2 minutes and 27 seconds in the game number two, and everything was coming up roses against a depleted Erie Otters lineup. However, the Otters had a lot of fight in them today and wanted to go back home with the all-important split on the road to start the playoffs, and that's what the Otters have earned. A 7-4 win over the Kitchener Rangers here at the Memorial Auditorium today, and back to PA we go in a 1-1 series for game number three on Tuesday night. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Let's get right to the phones here on Rangers Talk and hear from you. Kurt, you are first on City News 570.
Hello?
Okay, let's turn our phone, let's turn our radio down in the background. Jordan, we're going to put Kurt back on hold, please. All right, Kurt's on. You got to turn your radio down in the background, otherwise it's going to sound like you're on a delay system. So you turn down that radio, we'll get to the phone for Kurt in just a moment. Instead, we'll go to Mark to start us off on Rangers Talk. Mark, you're on City News 570.
Hi, Mark and Fix.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
That was a cross today. They were up 2-0. I listened to UC interview. 100% agree with everything, every word he said. They were up 2-0. They let 3 goals in, and they could not claw back. They are the better team, but they did not show up today. That's my, and you know what? I really liked Fix, when you said the goaltender for Erie, Fraser. Fraser is down. That was really cool.
I'm old enough to remember Howard Cosell making that call way back.
Anyways, down goes, yeah, Fraser.
He was a good goalie today, but I'm just saying, I don't think the Rangers had all their stuff today.
All right, Mark. Appreciate the call. You can understand where that comes from. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
I believe he called it a crash for the Rangers today. And I guess that's a fair description of it, because you're up 2-0 early on. And even I really thought, Paul, after the first period today, it's 2-1. There's no question that the Otters found their legs and started to carry the play. But I thought that first intermission would be the perfect reset for the Kitchener Rangers. And it just didn't turn out that way for them.
It didn't. And to Mark's point, Fraser was a big part of that. He was very good again. And so, for me, it brings up the question, Mike, do you stay with him, or do you bring in somebody that you traded for when you needed a goaltender in Gaudreau, who's an NHL-drafted player by San Jose? I don't know. That's an interesting question, I think, as this series goes along. But you're so right. The Rangers weren't able to reconnect, reemerge, whatever, in that intermission break, and they came out flat, and it just energized Erie. And I think, to Erie's credit, the 9 players that they played a lot, played hard. They really did, and the 6 defensemen, really, they, and a simple game plan: get it out, get it in. Willing to take icing calls if need be. Very simple, but effective.
I like where you're coming from on essentially rewarding Fraser for playing as well as he has. And also, you don't mess with a winning formula. The other side of that equation, though, is you don't get a guy like Benjamin Gaudreau to not play him in the playoffs when he's ready.
Yeah, and he certainly looks ready to me. I haven't seen him skate. Maybe when we get to Erie, I'll get to the game day skates and see him there. But underneath, watching him do his, you know, pregame routine, let's call it, looks pretty agile to me. Watching him stretch and throw the ball against the wall and all those things that goaltenders do to get themselves ready. You know, the reactionary stuff and that. He's moving pretty well.
Ethan Fraser has just been such a great story, getting his first chance of Ontario Hockey League action here as an overager, a U18 draft pick of the Otters back in 2020, and having played with the Lindsay Muskies and the Trenton Golden Hawks prior to making his appearance here in these playoffs at a critical time for the Otters. All right, let's get back to the phones. Hopefully Kurt's got things sorted out now. Kurt, you're on Rangers Talk.
Absolutely. If there's a fire warming me up, I'll sit out. Can I?
Kurt, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hello?
Kurt, you're on Rangers Talk.
How you doing, Mike? Fixie, I love you guys. I wanted to call in to say how disappointed I am in the Rangers tonight. From what I've seen, it was a terrible playoff game by the Rangers. This is a superior team. Erie's not a great team. We should be walking all over these guys, and they just were very, very, very soft, very weak, no energy. I saw it in game one. They were able to pull that through, but can you imagine if we were playing London or anybody half decent right now? We're supposed to be one of the top seeds, and I was not impressed.
Kurt, I'm hang just a sec. Now, listen.
No,
I want to love you back, but first of all, you finally got this phone thing sorted out, so I'll let that one slide.
Yeah,
but
we did. It wasn't hard.
To say Erie is a terrible team is a real. I think that's a mistake.
They're
furthest thing from.
Team. They're a fifth seed, and they're a weaker team. They're not a great team. We should be walking over these guys, Mike.
Well,
playoffs
are different.
Do you not agree?
Well, no, playoffs are a different beast, and
I know what the playoffs are.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay, like, all right, go ahead.
A terrible team, I would disagree with because
they're a mediocre team.
They had 17 wins this year.
They're mediocre.
Okay, mediocre, but they had above 500 record, which makes them better than mediocre. And they had 17 wins on.
No, not really.
Okay, well.
So above 500 is still.
Yeah.
A mediocre team.
I guess we're a mediocre team too. We should be walking over these guys, really.
Why? Why? Kurt, it's the 4-5 seed here. Why
if
should
we
the Rangers
playing,
be walking over
right,
the Otters?
Okay, so we're not that good. We're a 4-5 seed. So we're playing London right now. The score would be about 9-2 for London. Okay,
but we're not playing London. Let's talk about
who we're. I've been a Ranger season ticket holder for 20 years. This is a joke. Hey, this is a better team. They have to step up their game. The officiating, it's weak, but we had a two-man advantage, and those penalties for Erie weren't even penalties. Like, what I'm saying is the Rangers got to step up their game and play better, play harder. I love you guys, but let's not, like, Erie's not a great team. We should be walking over these guys. It should be a three. We should beat them in five. We still might, but they have to find something. They're not playing well. That's all I'm saying, guys. They're not playing well. You guys can admit that, right? Or Erie's a great team, and we're, you know.
I'll give you this. The Rangers did not play well today. I thought they played well the other day. Yeah.
I don't think
I agree.
Great
they didn't
Friday.
Play well.
They won Friday, but I don't think they played great.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm a little upset. That's all.
It sounds like it, and that's fair. I guess, Curtis, that you think that the Rangers should just win every game 5 or 6 to nothing.
No, here we go. Here's Mike, the typical, you know, turning around on me, right? They just didn't play well today. I know they weren't going to win in four.
We already admitted that, but then you said they didn't.
In a row and
Kurt,
win the Memorial Cup.
Well,
but
okay.
They just didn't play great, right? You know what I mean? Like,
my goodness.
It wasn't
I'd love
a good
to,
game.
Okay, but we already admitted that. And then you went on to say, well, they didn't play well on Friday either, despite the win. So I'm just
– I don't think they played
great. It sounds
great.
To me – right. And you don't think Erie's a good enough team, so Kitchener should be walking all over them. So unless the Rangers win 5 or 6 nothing every – okay, so unless Kitchener wins
know,
5 or 6
– I know,
well,
but,
Kurt, what are you trying to say
game,
then?
I know.
Well,
I'm just
then what
they
do you
should,
want?
They should be playing better than this.
Okay.
Okay. Listen,
wasn't a good
appreciate
–
okay. Appreciate the call. Fixie, look, you've coached in this league
You've coached in other leagues. You know what? I love the passion, but I have to be honest. I bristle at, oh, I've been a season ticket holder for 20 years. So, in other words, then you should be behind the bench or you should be on the ice. I'm not sure what it is, but my goodness gracious. And I'm not taking anything away from the Erie Otters, who played really good hockey through the month of March, which frankly just ends today. And yeah, unless you're going to march through 16-0 to the Memorial Cup, then you're going to get into a series and you're going to lose a game or two.
Absolutely, you're going to lose a game or two, Mike. It's why you lost and how you lost that you have to learn from and bounce back. And I have enough faith in this staff and the players that they will. You know, I think Kurt makes a fair comment in that on paper, anyways, the Rangers are a better club. They've got some playoff experience. Erie doesn't, et cetera, those things. However, the game isn't played on paper. They put a time on the clock. They drop a puck, and you have to play it out. And sometimes the better team doesn't always win.
The top-seeded Oshawa Generals lost Game 1 to the Barrie Colts.
Well, let's look at last year.
The top-seeded Windsor Spitfires got swept by the 8th-seeded Kitchener Rangers.
So, crap happens sometimes, right?
Oh, well said, Paul Fixter. Well said. Did you go to church today to make sure that didn't slip out?
You know, like, so I think that's... I love the passion on Kurt's behalf. And I said it at the start of the game. This is a must win. Well, apparently it wasn't because they didn't win. But I still believe it was. And I'm upset as a fan because I want the series to be as short as it can so we stay rested and healthy and all those things. The more games you have to play, the harder it is on your body. You factor in travel. We know we have to go to Erie for two. Come back for here and then have to go back for game five or sorry four and then
six.
Come back well no we have to come back for five
we have to come back
point.
Home for five and
so
then, yeah.
And if Erie wins one more so all that extra travel factors into the big picture. So I understand his frustration, and being a fan for 20 years or 2 years doesn't factor into in I don't understand that part of it. Fans are fans. There's fans that have been here for 50 years. Shout out to you, Mr. O'Malley. And, you know, so that's awesome that we have fans that are that passionate. But, you know, cooler heads will prevail tomorrow.
I would love to avoid a game six in this series come heck or high water, because I want nothing to do with those shenanigans on the Eclipse Day and how that's all going to work out. But that's well down the road.
You know, Mike, and this started at the start of the game with all the not arguing, but words being spoken between the two teams in the pregame warm-up. And there were a total of, I believe, 12 penalties today, and we talked about that in the pregame. And there was a lot of gamesmanship started before the game, before the puck was even dropped. The officials had to stand on the red line, center ice. Usually the officials stand on the boards and the players do their thing. They stood between, at one point, Brustevich and Terrance or Edwards, and then between... Andonovsky or Pugliese and Schaefer, a rookie. So it all started early on.
It certainly did. The fix was in on more than three power plays per team today for City Cabs. He was right on that. The fix was in on the Rangers getting the first goal today. Fixie was right on that. The fix was also in on the Rangers scoring five or more, which they failed to do, but the Otters scored seven. Last one into an empty net for the 7-4 victory. I'm with you, Paul. I love the passion from Kurt. I really do. That's what it's all about. But if you've seen enough hockey over 20 years, as Kurt points out, I'm a season ticket holder for 20 years, that you know then some nights you win and some nights you don't. Even the 2008 Memorial Cup team that won 53 lost 11 in regulation along the way. So
yep, that happens.
It does happen. It happened here to the Rangers today, but Kurt brought some fire to our Rangers Talk post-game coverage. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. You got some fire to bring, too? You can reach us here as we continue on City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, Sam Alfano and Pano Femus paced the offense for the Erie Otters today. Femus, by the way, 76 regular season points. That's more than a point a game That's a very good player in this league. Just to tie it back to Kurt's call a little bit earlier, he was some kind of fired up following this Ranger loss in Game 2. To Pennsylvania we go, Game 3 on Tuesday night in what is now a best-of-five playoff series. 1-1 it is right now as the Rangers won on Friday night and the Otters here on Easter Sunday afternoon. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Jersey Bill, you are next on Rangers Talk.
Yeah, you know, as I was walking across the Arkansas River the other day, I noticed the big arena, and I checked to see who played there, and it turns out that they did have a team in the ECLA called the River Blades, and they're not there anymore. They also lost their NBA affiliate team there. So it's a big 18,000 empty arena. And what strikes me is that, you know, with Erie, with these American teams in the OHL, you get the feeling that these players are playing for themselves, that they don't have this you know, this very passionate, probably Kitchener is one of the most important teams that has that, that passionate fan base. And you wonder if not having to play under that pressure, I'm sure it has a lot of, they get a lot of good support from their fans, but also it puts a lot of pressure on them. I'm sort of wondering whether not having that pressure actually helps a team like Erie in these kind of situations.
Well, Billy, appreciate the call. It's an interesting thought, and there's no question, Paul, that there is a passionate fan base and a pressure that comes with it here for the Kitchener Rangers, but let's not forget these kids on the American-based teams. I think that's why we had so many Otters fans up here by us tonight, because they're all from this part of the world.
And they were some jacked up. I had to walk through them to get downstairs, and they were some jacked up. Bill's point about, you know, maybe not having the same passion in Erie, if that's the way I take it, Mike, we've seen that building full, 6,000
you betcha
strong, who are passionate about it. The baseball stadium right next door holds just under 7,000. It's a Detroit Tigers AA affiliate. They fill that. Erie's a good sports town. They have Mercyhurst Hockey, which is a great program. So it is actually a pretty good hockey town. There's a history there from the old Eastern Professional Hockey League. I think it's a pretty good fan base there. I know it's the Ontario Hockey League, an American team, but it's a good spot for the Ontario Hockey League to be.
It really is, and we see lots of Pittsburgh Penguins jerseys while we're there, not far away.
Yeah, and we have a dog running around named Crosby.
We also have that. All right, back to the phones. Evan, you're on Rangers Talk.
Farwell, Fisher, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
Happy Easter. Rough one today.
Very rough one today, yes.
Just before the game, I was actually at an Easter gathering with my family, so I was a little late, but I still caught the second and third periods.
Well, you picked the two worst periods to see.
Yeah, Evan, maybe you should have stayed home and the Rangers would have done better.
Because their best period was the first.
Yeah, I know. No kidding, eh?
No kidding.
Yep.
What
else?
You really come on the postgame show and talk all this nonsense? There's no point in calling in at all, right?
Well, no. Listen, appreciate your call, Evan. Kurt called in before. You might call it nonsense, but he was passionate, and he wanted to talk about how upset he was and how terrible a team he thought Erie was and that the Rangers should be skating circles around them today. So I would say he brought a lot to the show, a lot of fire and a little bit of anger attached to it.
I enjoyed that call.
I did too.
I didn't really get to finish. They're better than a mediocre team. They made the playoffs. They had 33 wins versus 28 losses, 17 on the road, 17 at home, 16 on the road. They've got drafted players in Terrance and Mishiak. They've got Spence, who's going to be drafted this year, no question about it. Their goaltender has been drafted by San Jose. They've got some pretty good players in this lineup, and they're a young team. They've got a nice future. I give a lot of credit to their GM, Dave Brown, and his scouts that do a good job of getting players there, and Stan Butler, who's had a real good career in this league and still looking for that elusive championship, but he's been there. You know, it's not easy to win. Stan has been there. Stan has taken teams on numerous occasions to the conference finals and the finals. It's not easy to win at any level, especially at this level where you're dealing with kids.
And you mentioned it's a young team. This was expected to be a next year's team as it kind of comes into its own. And they had a strong finish to end up fifth in this Western Conference. No slouch at all are the Erie Otters. Cody, you are on Rangers Talk.
Hey, guy. Hey, Farrell Fixture. Happy Easter, guys.
Happy Easter, Code.
Yeah. Let's just say, I just want to say that was a tough game to swallow for all Ranger fans. Like, at least I can admit that.
Right. But let's learn something that Philip Machar learn from something that Philip Machar said. Tough game. Let's make it only tough for 15 minutes, as Machar said, and then we can move on.
There you go.
How about that?
Yep, always. And I feel like the Rangers will do something while they're in Erie for game three.
All right, Cody, appreciate the call. And, of course, that's what the Rangers are going to have to do, Paul. And the sooner they do it in game three, it takes more pressure off game four. But Kitchener has to go there and earn, at minimum, a split.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
You don't want to come back home down 3-1.
No, you have to answer back to losing at home.
Yes.
So that means winning there. And, you know, you have to get that killer instinct, Mike. So if they do get game three, that killer instinct has to come through to win game four, unlike it did today.
Right, because they had that early lead, and you would have loved to see it continue against a depleted Otters lineup, but it certainly did not. And Erie, you got to give them credit for the way they battled in this game.
No question. They just were persistent, and you made the point early on, and it was a really good one, that they were able to do something they couldn't do on Friday night, and that's actually not only get within one, get the tying goal, and then take the lead for the first time in the series.
Yeah.
And then they just built off that. To me, the one stat that really sticks out, though, Mike, is outscoring Kitchener 3-1. Forget about the empty net goal. 3-1 in the third period when, you know, it was a tied game going into the third period. That really sticks out for me.
The Otters on Friday night got within one goal in the third period for the third time in that game, but they never could get that equalizer. And here this afternoon, they scored three unanswered to take their first lead of the series in the second period, and they didn't look back from that. Let's go next to Daryl. Daryl, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Mike. Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing really well, thank you.
Good, guys. Hey, just a comment. Really believe in these guys yet. They're going to do it. But it seems like the games are like up and down garage doors here at the current minute. And what was their success at the beginning of the year? When they were leading the OHL, they were lighting it out, right? More of a comment for Paul. Like, what we see here is the lines that they currently got. I believe that Rykop and Sopp are two total different goal scorers. And running them together, I'm not sure they're complementing each other. And that's just my observation. I believe that Rykop should be up the middle, keep his feet going. Machar, obviously another three assists, would feed him. And I don't know. I just haven't seen the chemistry since basically Christmas. So I just, you know.
Yeah, interesting. It's an interesting comment. I really like Philip Machar as a centerman. He's such a great skater, and he's able to do the job down low as a centerman has to do for coverages purposes. I think Philip Machar is a better right centerman than he is a right winger. If you were to move Rakoff into the middle, so you've got Sopp, who's a natural centerman, Rakoff, which I don't mind, Machar, now who do you take out? Because Mercer is going to be your fourth-line centerman, so do you put, you know, Rakoff or Machar down on the third line and move Romano somewhere? Like, it's when you make a move like that, there's a subsequent move. And right, what is that subsequent move in your mind?
Well, I was thinking at the beginning of the year, they had Rykop in the middle, they had Machar on the right, and they had Swick, right? And then Sopper either center on the second line, running with Saleh and with Alienosh has been lighting it up because he's a grinder. I think what they're trying to do is feed Rykop, obviously for obvious reasons, but I think him being in the middle keeps his feet moving. And I think maybe going back to the world, he would have accelerated, I think, if he would have been up the middle. That's just what I'm thinking.
All right, Darrell. Appreciate the call. And
interesting insight.
It is very interesting analysis. And you're right, Paul. Making one move causes another move. There's a chain reaction in that. But I like where Darrell's coming from on this, and I understand it. I personally like Sopp and Rakoff together. I think Machar is almost necessary with Chalet.
Yeah, they seem to have found Chalet, something. Exactly. And Chalet has shown me more in this series than he has in quite some time.
Yes, I agree.
Like, he's involved, and he's getting some scoring opportunities. Make no mistake, Darrell, there will be a change in the lineup in game four when Trent Swick comes back into the lineup. Elenis was pretty quiet today after being first star the other day, so I'm assuming Swick will go back into that spot. I understand where Darrell's coming from as Rakoff as a centerman. He is a terrific skater. I think, though, with the way the Kitchener Rangers play, they don't the wingers are very active. They're all over the place. So I think his ability to get around is still there. Sopp and him seem to have a chemistry quite often. But interesting comment. And if the Rangers lose another game, I'm sure you'll see some line combinations change, because that's what coaches do.
Interesting the point, too, on the beginning of this season for the Kitchener Rangers. And we talked about it even while it was happening, Paul. It takes nothing away from the hockey club. And you said it so well. You can only play the teams they put in front of you. But the travel schedule certainly helped the Kitchener Rangers early on, and they didn't have a lot of the Sault Ste. Marie's, Saginaw's, and London's in that first half. There was two against the Sioux, one against London, and I think two against Saginaw early
and
on.
Other than Mitchell Martin, Mike, after healthy. About the 15th game, they had no injuries. Like, they were a healthy team with healthy scratches, which is a great thing for a coach to have, because it forces players to really play well if you want to either get into the lineup or stay in the lineup. And then, you know, the injury started to accumulate, a couple of suspensions and things like that, and the second half wasn't as good as the first half. I mean, at game 34, going into game 35, Kitchener Rangers were first overall.
They were. They were 24-8-2 at Christmas, 17-15-2, or 17-17, the way I like to call it, after the Christmas break. All right, we'll take a timeout and come back with more Rangers talk following a 7-4 Otters victory to tie this series at a game apiece. You're listening to City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Wow, Philip Machar had three assists, Carson Rakoff a couple of goals. But it comes in a losing effort as the Rangers fall 7-4 to the Erie Otters here this afternoon. And it's a 1-1 series headed back to the Erie Insurance Arena for Game 3 on Tuesday night. Let's go back to the phones. Jeffrey, you are on Rangers Talk.
Right.
Jeffrey. Okay, we're just going to move on from Jeffrey's call and go to Steven instead. Steven, you're on Rangers Talk.
Yeah, hello, my friends. How are you?
We're good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Well, you know, a little bit disappointed. I mean, you know, first of all, happy Easter to you guys. It was a good Friday, but not so much a happy Easter Sunday.
No, for a lot of people, including Kurt, who was very upset.
No doubt. Well, I think the start kind of almost, you know, with the quick two goals that happened there, and all of a sudden you're getting a little feeling too good on yourself. But this is my main concern is, of course, with the depleted lineup, the boatload of confidence you've given Erie, and, you know, and if they can carry that. So I know Fixie said this is almost a must-win game, but I think Game 3 is a must-win game because, you know, you go down 2-1 to these guys, and kind of like the saying, Otters are going to be thinking, hey, we're the little Otter that could. So definitely you want to come out with a strong effort Game 3.
Yeah, the reason I said it was a must-win game is because I really felt that way with the lineup that Erie was putting forth. And, you know, Kitchener had their full complement minus Swick, because I'm not going to include Mitchell Martin because he really hasn't been a factor for the team this year. So Swick's the only one out. When the bodies that Erie had out, I that's why I said that. Maybe it's a strong statement to say, but that was my feeling. And it still is. I think this is a game that Kitchener should have won.
Poor Mitch Martin, just 21 games on the season.
Yeah, that's tough.
So, yeah, for sure. I mean, this was there for the taking, and definitely would have, you know, put a big statement on the series. But definitely they got to bounce back, you know, and definitely have a good game there in Erie. You know, it just seemed like the first game they just seemed to have that pressure on that nut drive, right?
Yep.
And it seemed to continue through most of the game, but here it was started good, right? And then it just went downhill from there, especially the third. So you got to do that. And if Fraser's playing well, just go for the greasy goals, and that's what all you can do. So anyhow, guys.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Stephen.
Have a happy rest of the day, and take care. Talk to you Friday.
Thank you. You know, we can call it a must-win the next game, but in a series, the most important game is the next game. And that, so now it becomes the most important game, Game 3, no question about it.
Absolutely. And you win Game 1, Paul, and we talked about this a way back during our Harris Law pregame show today. And that is, for your effort on Friday night, your reward is, well, you better go out there and do it again today. Because Erie, the road team, always wants to split. So you know the pressure was on Erie to get that. You knew they were going to come hard. And if you're the Kitchener Rangers, like, that's the beauty of the playoffs.
It's an easy message for the Erie coaching staff before the game. Guys, this would have been the message to the guys, nobody, including the 6,000 people in this building, minus the 50 that are our fans, believes we can win today. Let's go out and prove them wrong. As simple as that. That would have been the message. And then, you rah-rah and all that stuff. But that would have been the message to this hockey club. And however it was delivered by Stan and his staff, the players bought into it.
They absolutely did. And again, I just want to say, I understand Curtis's frustration earlier, but full marks to the Otters for their compete today. No question about it. Eddie, you are next on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Mike and Fixter.
Edward, I hear you were pretty fired up after this one. Fixie had to hurry back up to the booth, and he said Eddie was some kind of, he had steam coming out of his ears today.
Yeah, well, that was kind of a joke, if we're going to be completely honest. They're down, what, at the end of the day, I guess they're down five guys, four if you don't count Goudreau. And you get off to that 2-0 start, and you let it slip away. I mean, the Rangers let in a goal. Let's not include the empty netter. They let in a goal every four shots. That's bad. That's really bad.
Well, I said this in the third period, and I don't want, like, look, this was a team effort to lose the game. But I think if we're being honest, Jackson Parsons was not as sharp as we have seen him at times.
No, not at all. But my comment, I wasn't exact. With my comment, though, I was also didn't want to just call it him, because it really, how many times has he hung out to dry there, too? So everybody could have played a better game overall, because, you know, like my buddy Spencer was saying, is a lot of those chances, like, okay, he let in a goal every four shots, but also, how many breakaways did he face? How many two-on-ones? Like, you know, you can only expect so much.
Yeah, the one goal I think he'd like to have back is no doubt Tarrant's goal.
Like, more than one goal that he'd want back. But no, like, I will say, to put it all on him would be unfair, because that was
100%.
Oh yeah.
No,
that's
entirely unfair if that were to happen. Again, and there were lots of turnovers. Like, it was a team effort today.
Someone was saying, I'm not exactly sure on the numbers, but someone was saying five of the goals came directly from turnovers. I'm not positive on that.
That's probably fair. Yeah. The coach kind of alluded to that. Eddie, your thoughts on the post-game celebration by the Erie Otters as they exited the ice?
No, you know what? My issue isn't with the saluting the fans thing. Like, you know what? That makes sense. I think it's more just like the way they were acting the whole game is like, you didn't even take the series lead. You just tied it. Like, relax. Game two. Like, I know the playoffs get you fired up, but, like, you know, shushing the crowd and all that stuff. Yeah. Like,
well, Eddie, I play a lot of golf, and when my buddies get a birdie and carry on a little bit too much, my line to them always is, act like you've done it before.
I'm all
is
about
that what
energy.
You're saying?
I'm all about energy, but I'm just more gonna say is like you just tied the series. Like you didn't tie the series in game 2. You didn't take the lead. You didn't win game 5. You didn't tie it up in game 6. Like I'm just saying is that there's a lot more hockey to be played. So you know what? At the end of the day, I think they're gonna look. It's always that thing. You win the series, you don't look silly. You lose the series, you look silly. I think they're gonna look silly come the end of this series.
All right, Eddie. Appreciate the call. There's faith still, despite a game that Eddie didn't exactly love. And he's that number that he said, I'm just trying to go through in my mind's eye, but was it, you know, 5 goals directly off turnovers? Could have been. But there were plenty of turnovers to go around today from both hockey clubs. I mean, the Matthias Stark goal that the Rangers got, oh my goodness, what a glaring giveaway by the Otters.
There were turnovers both ways, and Erie, certainly the Spence goal, there was a turnover. The Terrance goal, there was a turnover. So, and the coach mentioned it, and that's one of the things that he stresses. I always listen to your pregame, Mike, with him, and there's certain things that jump out at me, and he continually stresses puck management. And their puck management tonight wasn't good enough.
It certainly wasn't.
And that, I think I asked him postgame if there's one thing you want to see better in the next game, and he said puck management. So, you know, which means turnovers.
7-4 the final in favor of the Erie Otters, who tie this series at a game apiece, heading back into their home barn. We'll take a final break. Come back with more post-game coverage for You Save Flooring. It's Rangers Talk on City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Back here inside the Memorial Auditorium, where the Erie Otters draw even in their first round series with the Kitchener Rangers, a 7-4 road victory for the Otters, who head back home now with a 1-1 series tie. Let's get back to the phones here on Rangers Talk. Daniel, you're on City News 570.
Hello, Mike. How's Fix? How we doing?
We're doing well. How are you?
Well, I was a little upset before, but I think I've calmed down now.
Good man.
Good.
Yeah. I just want to say, first of all, I think both teams have played very well both games. They both have brought the energy and intensity I love about hockey. The only lack I have about the Rangers about this game, it seemed like they were a little lazy on the defensive zone at times, but they, you know what, the coach was a little, you know, a bit mad about the puck management, but, you know, both, as you said, both teams were a little, you know, but they, yeah, what I can't wait for Game 5 in Kitchener. That's going to be so good. Erie is a really good team. They beat, I'm pretty sure they're the team that ended London's streak, so they're a very good team. I love their defense. They turn their defense into offense. I've watched Malcolm Spence a couple times a year, and I just love how he's playing. But they, it's going to be tough going into Erie, but they, as a Rangers fan, I'll be happy if they split the series in Erie and come back home for Kitchener in Game 5, because that's not going to be easy on Erie whatsoever.
All right, Daniel. Appreciate that call. We're running short on time, so we'll let you go there and give some thoughts to what you said. I love the point about Erie being the team. And they played London well this year. And the Otters fans, they have this great tradition. They'll play Sweet Caroline, and instead of the bump, 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 the fans will sing London Sucks for the bump, bump, bump. I think it's kind of fun. But they are a good team. They do know how to transition. And they play you tough.
And he mentions about their team defense. They had a really good defenseman out tonight in Davio, who wasn't even part of this. He makes a lot of good points about their defense, and that's one of the things Stan has been known for is team defense, and I think they have exhibited very well.
So, Paul, looking ahead to game number 3 now on Tuesday, we would likely expect to see the Mishiaks, the Davios, the Brissettes, and the Messiers back, because there's some sort of illness running through this Otters team. So we would expect a fuller complement of Otters players. The Rangers let one slip away today. We know that, against a depleted lineup. What do you look for? What do you say to this Rangers team to have them ready for Tuesday?
Well, the puck management thing is a big idea. Making better decisions with the puck and not turning it over in high dangerous areas. You know, those high dangerous areas are at the offensive zone blue line. If you turn it over there, you're most likely giving up an odd man rush. And you have to, like Erie, let's take a page out of their book. They get it out of their zone quickly, and they're willing to take an icing to do it. So you have to make good decisions with the puck. And it seems, Mike, when you make a mistake with the puck in the playoffs, it's magnified, and it quite often results in a goal. So I think that's the biggest thing for them. And the other one is, to Kurt's point, they have to play with more passion from start to finish. They can't kind of do it in ebbs and flows. It has to be for a full 60. As much as that sounds like a cliche, that's a matter of fact.
You ready for 4 days on the road in Erie,
PA? I don't have a choice. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it because I actually like going to Erie, or like once I'm there. But I'm really looking forward to these next games because this has turned into the kind of series that we thought it would be.
Absolutely. It's a great barn to broadcast from as well. I'm going to be doing the daytime show from the road, and I think I'm going to be bringing Fixie on with me now and again. We'll talk some Rangers hockey, keep you ready for those games 3 and 4 Tuesday and Thursday night, and Paul and I will be on the air with a 6:35 pregame on both nights. All right, quickly on the Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard, Oshawa 5-4 over Barrie. That series tied 1-1. London 6-4 winners over Flint. Knights lead that series 2-0. This one's a 1-1 series following a 7-4 Otters win today. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Paul Fixter, and our producer back at the boardwalk, Jordan Malcolm, my name is Mike Farwell. Happy Easter from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers, City News 570.